Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Snodcast. Go on, tell your friends. You can download it for free at iTunes. Be a subscriber. Go on. You know you want to. On this week's edition, we talk about the problems of the old alarm clock. Also, Kirsty gets chatted up by another woman. We discuss the Olympic Games closing ceremony and what the London 2012 Olympic Stadium should be called. Also, on this week's Snodcast, Weird Dreams, Northern Ireland's Sexiest Man, and I reveal the person who I would most want to interview and what I would ask them. It's all happening right here over the course of the next 30 minutes or so.
97.4 Cool FM Snodcast.
This morning something happened in our office that is just so typical of what happens in offices up and down the country every day of the week.
Yeah.
That's the fact that someone's running late. Kirsty, it wasn't you today.
It wasn't me, no. Well, no. It was a little bit. But
hey-ho. Hey-ho, such is life.
I didn't sleep in.
No. Well, Ed, who's working in our sister station this morning, arrived in this morning. He wasn't late by any stretch of the imagination. I wouldn't have blinked an eyelid. But he says, 5:10, got up at this morning. I felt like something was wrong with that. He goes, damn alarm didn't go off. And I just thought to myself, isn't it typical? Why, whenever the alarm doesn't go off, the only thing that we blame is the alarm? Like, it's never our fault. It's never the way we said it or anything that got there. No, it's the alarm's fault. It just chose that morning not to go off.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show.
Snodcast.
Now, on the weekend, if you missed the early part of the show, I was saying I was out on Friday night and I had a great night. Now, it was some of the boys you haven't been out with in ages, and turned out to be a bit of a messy affair, and I sort of got home about 4:30-ish and then was out playing golf Saturday morning at 9:30. Golf wasn't much to write home about, I have to say. In fact, it was worse than that. Really bad. But all in all, it was a good night. Nice bite to eat and all. Good crack, good banter with the boys. Kirsty as well was out on the weekend, weren't she?
I was out on Saturday. I can't remember what I did Friday night. I think I stayed in. I was in Friday night. Saturday night I went out.
Now, Kirsty received the biggest compliment ever on Saturday night. And it didn't come from a bloke. It didn't come from one of her friends. Kirsty was outside, sort of usual pose.
Usual pose. Does everybody know what that means by now?
Yeah, it means I sat on the fag, getting some fresh air on board. Yes. And what happened?
I was with Ricky, who trains me at the gym.
Yeah, and he trained me as well. And yeah. Was he abusing?
He hasn't trained you for a long time, though. When are you going back?
Yeah, was he asking on the weekend whether I was going back or not?
He's given up now.
Oh, has he?
No, not really.
Well,
he didn't
okay,
ask at the weekend, but he has asked. They're all asking, when's Pete coming back? When's
oh, dear.
Pete coming back?
Okay, well, okay, that's okay. That makes me sort of... You see, if you had to just continue with the whole thing, no, they don't care whether you come back or not. I would have said, happy days, and I won't be back. That's what I would have said.
So but you're going back just for them?
Well...
Or for yourself, because that's who you're doing it for.
Right, well, let's not get through the whole motivational thing at the moment. Yeah, I'll get back at some stage.
Right, okay. So I said, having a smoke, chatting with Ricky, and this girl... There's three girls come walking up.
All three were looking at you, or just the one?
No, it's just one.
One of three were looking at you.
Well, she wasn't even, I just noticed they were walking up. And
this in a Katy Perry way? I kissed a girl and I liked it. Did she like you?
No, it wasn't like that.
Are you sure?
I'm absolutely positive.
She was not a lesbian?
I don't think so.
Right, okay.
I don't know.
But then she just came out with the next comment, which blew you away.
Yeah, she didn't even say hello or anything. She says, goodness, haven't you got a nice bum?
She didn't even say hello to you. You tell me, she didn't come and go, hi, what's your name? You've got a nice bum. She just came straight up and she goes, looked you in the eye and went, you've got a nice bum.
Yeah, and I just looked at Ricky and smiled. And he said, yes, thanks very much. Been working on that rather hard. Or something like that, I don't know. I remember. I'm a bit drunk.
I love the way she eyes you up, gives you like the compliment of your life, and then Ricky takes all the credit for it. How does that work?
Snodcast.
Now, what about the Olympic Games coming to a close? Yes, you have to say, Kirsty, I was very sad yesterday.
What time was it on at?
It started at about, well, I must go out of my scratcher on Sunday about, well, it was up early, it was up about 9:30, but then I just lay there and I got up about midday. It must have been on from about 12:30, and I think the actual ceremony, the closing ceremony, kicked off about 1:00 and it was on the after 3:00.
Right.
Or was it 1-4? No, I think it was probably 1-3. But it was very, very, very well done. Unbelievably. So they've set, and I know already the media are straight onto it, you know, oh, London's not going to be like this. It's going to be more traditional. London don't have as much to prove as China, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're already putting a dampener on it already for 2012, I think.
Mm.
Mind you, the thing about it is, and it's one thing that came up yesterday in the coverage of the Olympic Games, which I'd never thought of, is that not only do the London 2012 Olympic Committee have to impress the Olympic Committee, the International Olympic Committee, right?
Yeah.
They've also impressed the media, because as soon as anything goes wrong, the media will scrutinise everything they do,
absolutely,
and will get right on their back. And China didn't have that.
I'm slightly sceptical about the whole thing anyway. I don't think we've got it in us to get organised for 2012. do you know like Wembley?
Yeah,
Wembley
was a bit late. But
what do you mean a bit late? How many years was it late by?
Yeah, good point.
Okay, so we need more than one stadium built, I'm sure.
But there's a lot of stadiums already there, you see.
Yeah, but we're still building.
They will use Wembley. It'll be worth the wait, you see, because they'll be able to use it for the Olympic Games. They're using the Millennium Stadium in Cardiff, I'm sure. I think they're employing the guy.
They'll probably end up in Belfast as well for something, because they can't fit them in.
Hold on, we second.
You know what I mean?
We can't even decide whether we're having a stadium or not. Never mind, get one built in time. Do you know what I mean? That's the situation with us. So we'll wait and see. But apparently the guys who built the Emirates Stadium are going to be involved in a lot of Olympic work. Why? Because they got the Emirates built on time. Now, yesterday I take everything back.
Right.
Which is what I've said about Leona Lewis. I take everything back, ladies and gentlemen. Her feet are not as big as what I thought they were. They really aren't. She was on the London bus coming into the stadium in Beijing yesterday, uh-huh, to do the big handover. And she was wearing this huge dress. Like, I mean, what do you call the end of the dress? The tail of it, what do you call that?
Train.
Correct. It was huge. But then whenever she hopped off to actually sing, it became a wee short number. She is saucy. I like her.
Very good. Was she wearing shoes yesterday?
Yes, strappy heels. And the feet
that's why they look smaller then.
They're definitely not as big as what I first saw now, I have to say.
Put your shoes on. They're going to look smaller. I don't like feet.
Keep them on.
Yeah, keep them on.
You know the person I felt really sorry for yesterday?
Who?
Boris Johnson.
I always feel sorry for him.
Mayor of London.
I feel sorry for him.
Why do you always feel sorry for him?
Like anybody called Boris Johnson, you know.
But he's still... What?
Bless.
Well, I'll be honest with you. Yesterday, whenever I watched him take the Olympic flag, did you see the whole hullabaloo with the Olympic flag?
No, I didn't see anything.
Oh, dear. Well, you'll be able to check it out on YouTube, or you'll see it in the news again today, but mm-hmm, the flag kept on getting tangled up and Boris was trying to wave it from side to side and it just wasn't happening for him.
The wind was in the wrong direction.
No, just the flag was sort of wrapped around the flagpole. So I felt very sorry for Boris yesterday, but still to this day, okay, mm-hmm, I will stand by what I said.
He
looks like a Boris.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show.
Snodcast.
The closing ceremony was unbelievable. I really, really, really enjoyed it. And of course, the kick started the big celebrations in London as the baton was handed over, the Olympic flag was handed over to Boris Johnson, who incidentally nearly dropped a pole. And then, of course, the flag kept on getting wrapped around his pole.
I hate it when that happens.
It's not good now. It's not good. You know one thing, right? When it started off, the whole big celebrations yesterday in London with Queen's We Will Rock You, they had the cast of whatever the big Queen concert is in the West End, you know, mm-hmm, actually doing all the singing. And I sort of thought to myself, you know what, how nice would it have been, you know, if Freddie Mercury was still here to actually be able to, you know, embrace that whole thing, you know, with, you know, all the Queen music and everything like that there. Very sad whenever you think about it, isn't it?
It is. I was thinking, could you not, you know, hear it ticking?
No, I didn't know. Are you thinking about how many years it's been?
I was trying to think how long it's been since he died, because I think I was at college that year, so that would be 92. So 2008. Okay, I had a late night last night, so that would be 16 years ago. That's all right. Yes. Yes, that's a long time ago.
I was thinking actually about what, you know, they're building a new Olympic stadium in London. A lot of the infrastructure is already in place, let's face it, for the Olympics with all the current stadia that is available. Okay?
Some might disagree with you on that one, but yeah.
Right, we knew why China had the bird's nest.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, judging by the amount of rain we have, London 2012 could have the fishbowl.
Snodcast.
On Friday morning show, we were talking about, or it was last week sometime, we were talking about neighbours.
It was Friday, actually.
It was actually Friday, and how no one knows the name of their neighbours anymore. No one really bothers, and there's not like a welcoming committee or anything whenever you move into the street or anything like that. Everyone just keeps themselves.
And do
themselves.
You know the weird thing? I spoke to both of them over the weekend because the other one's next door. There's a newborn baby in the house, and I thought I'd heard a baby crying.
So you went in and said, oh.
No, because I cut my grass and everything. That's what I did on Friday. I cut my grass, or was that, Friday.
Whenever you went into the next door neighbours with the new baby, right?
They came to see me.
Did you get to see the baby?
Yeah.
I bet you
said. Only 4 days old.
I bet you said, och, here is she?
She.
Och, isn't she lovely?
Uh-huh.
Do you see, to be honest, you see, even, like, this is from a girl's perspective, okay? Uh-huh. I need to know this, because...
But you know how I feel about this, Pete, so you're going to allow me in it.
Hold on. Not every baby's beautiful.
No.
But every
to the parents, they are the most gorgeous thing in the world ever. But this one was pretty.
Really?
And I'm not just saying that. I mean...
So it was a beautiful bouncing baby.
Yes.
Garden at Slamside?
No.
Very good. Even
and
better.
You know, at the minute, it's actually... Because there's not much between the two houses. So I knew I could hear a newborn.
Right,
because
okay.
It's a different type of cry. And it says, I'm sure you've heard it. I was like, oh, it's a, you know, it's quite quiet at the minute.
Oh,
it's all right. I said, give her a couple of months.
Well, at least you're true. At least you're right in what you said.
Yeah.
Now, you went and helped out the other neighbour who could have been big time in distress. Well, mind you, after your call, she was big time in distress. What happened?
Well, what happened was whenever I got home from the gym on Friday after work and pulled up in the driveway and I noticed the house behind me, their wheelie bin was on fire.
It says no hot ashes. How could it be on fire?
I don't know why it was on fire. Maybe the guys had been back on their lunch break and were smoking and put it in the bin. I don't know, because it had been on fire for a little while. It was melting and stuff, and there was like burnt out stuff falling out of the bin.
So, Kirsty, did you go and put water on it? Did you move the bin? What did you do?
Well, you know, they say you should raise the alarm if there's a fire.
All right.
You know, when you read all these things on the wall. So I went on and knocked on the front door. Because where the bin was, it was right beside a huge pile of wood.
Right, okay.
So that could have gone up in smoke as well and then taken the house out.
Were they collecting for next year's bonfire, perhaps?
No, there's always... I don't know, it's something to do with what they do. So I went and knocked on the front door and the lady came to the door and I says, excuse me, do you know your wheelie bin?
Your wheelie bin's on fire.
Do you know your wheelie bin's on fire?
How are you doing? Are you well? Yeah, things are pretty good with me. Have a good night last night.
No.
I'm not here for sugar. I just let you know the wheelie bin's on fire.
It was only afterwards I thought, you were bawling. I could have moved it first, but I didn't. So then she came out and she was a bit flustered. And I was stood there as if, you know, it happens all the time.
Well you did what the guideline said, raise the alarm first.
I did raise the alarm. I didn't want to shock her, you know? You don't want to shock people too much.
So you just eased your way into the conversation to finally tell her. Snodcast. Kirsty, I don't want you to worry.
I'm not overly worried because I've checked out a couple of sites.
If you've just switched on, Kirsty dreamt that she was getting it on with a colleague of ours who has a moustache in a swimming pool.
I wasn't dreaming I was getting on with him. He was just with me when this thing happened and all my teeth fell out.
Right, okay, so...
Two at first and then they just fell out.
What are you more worried about, getting it on with him or your teeth falling out?
And my teeth falling out because it was that real and freaky that when I woke up, the first thing I had to do was check that I really did still have teeth.
Right, that's okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Obviously I do, otherwise I wouldn't be able to talk properly this
morning. I wanted just to make sure what was the more worrying thing, your teeth falling out or getting it on with a colleague.
My teeth.
Right, okay, that's fine. Okay, just wanted to clarify
that. Getting it on with a colleague's not a problem.
Would you like to?
No.
Right. Anyway, according to a lot of different people, it means lots of different things. For instance, okay, losing your teeth means you feel you're losing power or control of something in your life, according to Karen. Also, dreaming of losing your teeth means a new phase in your life.
Yes, I've heard that. I've read that. Yep.
I had the exact same dream as you last night too. It was so real.
Somebody dreamt the same thing last night.
Yes. But it wasn't our colleague with the mustache who you want to get on with. apparently it's a sign of stress.
Really?
Yeah. My girlfriend had that dream a few weeks ago. She searched into it, as only women do. Apparently it means that you're stressed out.
Right, okay.
Are you stressed out at the moment?
There's one or two things happening at the minute. I have found, when I read this bit online, it's in the Dream Dictionary or something online. This is what captured my eye. And I was able to go, yes, this is true.
Okay.
Okay. A rationalisation for falling teeth dream may be rooted in your fear of being embarrassed or making a fool of yourself in some specific situation. These dreams are an over-exaggeration of your worries and anxiety. So there is something that's going to be happening pretty soon that I am terrified about, because I know that people are going to be laughing at me, and not just a few, I mean lots of people are going to be laughing at me if something specific happens. And that's really all I can say about it at the minute. But you're going to find out soon.
But listen, they're going to be laughing at me too, so you'll be fine.
No, because you don't have a problem with this thing that we've got to do. I do. You're okay. You're sorted.
It's been a long time, Kirsty.
Well, then, we'll see.
Well, hopefully it'll just be like riding a bike. It'll all come back to me.
That is my big fear, though, at the minute, and it's in the back of my head all the time. It's doing my head in.
So
do
you reckon that's why you're worried?
Do it.
So do you reckon that's why you're worried about your teeth falling?
I think that's what it is, because it makes perfect sense. I'm worried about making a fool of myself.
Well, I'm just so glad we got to the bottom of it, and it's not that you've just planned your own death. Mind you, talking about the thing we're talking about could happen. If you're intrigued, you will find out all here in the coming days.
The Beats Snodden Breakfast Show.
Snodcast.
The other thing we're trying to get to the bottom of this morning as well, which you need to find out before 10 o'clock, is why the Cadbury's Gorilla is not coming to Northern Ireland. It's only doing, you know, a tour around the south. Why has it not come up here?
And also, can we talk about what I dreamt about last night?
Certainly.
Because I had this really real dream, like so real that I had to check things when I woke up. Fell asleep yesterday afternoon from about 12 to about 4:30, just a wee nap. And,
a wee nap.
A wee nap. And while I was asleep, and I never dream, but I had this dream that all my teeth fell out. And it was, first of all, it was just one or two, and then I was talking to somebody that I work with. I've never dreamt before, and it's not Pete, somebody else in the offices.
Oh, were you dreaming of them in a lustful way?
No, not at all, but I was at his house, which was really nice. Huge, more like a hotel.
And were you in his bedroom?
I don't think so. No, I was in a swimming pool and big jacuzzi. But my teeth kept falling out to the point where I had no teeth left. And in the dream, I looked in the mirror and just saw this big gummy smile.
Did you have your swimming costume on?
I couldn't tell you what I had on.
Were you in the raw in the pool with this certain number of staff?
No, Pete, stop it. I'm more interested in the teeth, never mind him.
I'm wondering who you want to get it on with, who works in this place. Is it an older man?
It is an older man.
Does he have a moustache?
Yeah, actually, our listeners might know him, because he stood in for you, remember, on, I was going to say Valentine's Day, on April Fool's Day.
So you want to get it on with the guy with the moustache in the swimming pool?
No, I don't want to get it on with him in the swimming pool, but I'm just worried about why I dreamt I'd lost all my teeth. So when I woke up...
Definitely means something.
I checked it out, but there's a few different meanings. I want to know if anybody else has had the same dream. But when I woke up, the first thing I did was check whether I still had teeth or not, because it was so real.
Oh, right, okay.
It was freaky.
Sorry, I thought you would have, the first thing you would have checked was whether you had clothes on or not. But if
I was in bed, of course I didn't.
You know what that means, you can get in touch with us this morning.
The Beats Snodden Breakfast Show.
Snodcast.
Anyway, here, remember last week I was telling you about this Northern Ireland Sexiest Man competition?
When is that?
Start of September, a couple of Thursdays time, not next Thursday, the Thursday after. I think that's right, yeah.
Right, okay.
Anyway, Georgie Thompson is co-hosting the event with myself, and I'm so excited about this.
You are.
But I'm even more excited this morning because the Daily Star, remember we were talking about this in the past, I don't reckon that anyone actually writes the Daily Star and asks them to put a pick in.
Right.
Do I? Yeah, if you turn to their forum page, there's a wee caption saying, like for instance today, any chance of a pick of Georgie Thompson off Sky Sport? She is one sexy babe.
I think that was you.
No, that comes in from Ainsley.
Where's Ainsley from?
We've no idea, it doesn't
normally
say.
It gives you a town. Do you know?
Well, it's just Ainsley. I think they just make it up. They couldn't think of a town today for
because
the
paper. It always starts with any chance of a pick.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, and I've always said I'm going to phone them, haven't I?
Yes, you've never done it.
Right, okay, I'll phone them this morning.
Maybe I should get a guy on there. Maybe I should phone them and get a guy on there for the girls. Who was your man we were lusting after the other day? Matthew McConaughey.
Hold on a second. The man we were lusting after?
Well,
rephrase that, Kirsty. I certainly was not lusting over Matthew McConaughey. No chance.
I wasn't talking about you. I was talking about me and another girl in the office. And I can't remember who it was.
It was Man United Ruth. Was it Man United Ruth?
No.
Who was it, actually?
I was the Susie. Susan from HR.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So anyway,
Matthew McConaughey. Oh, yeah, we got him in the
There's a nice pick of Georgie Thompson today. He pays 26 at Daily Star. If you do happen to buy the paper today, flick it on. You'll know exactly why I'm so excited about hosting Northern Ireland's Sexiest Man this year.
I'm looking forward to going to it.
A room full of 600 to 8,000 women and Georgie. Hi.
You can stand there and lust after all the men.
I haven't seen any pictures of them recently. Oh, well, we'll get you pics of them. No.
Yeah.
Pin that up there.
Georgie is now in front of the weather.
Yes.
It's going to be hot today.
Anyway, so I'll go try and get Georgie on the show before actually the event.
Excellent.
That'll be good. Snodcast. So I'm wet and heavy today, ladies and gentlemen. My pockets are bulging.
More than usual?
More than usual. anyhow, at least I'll be sort of whenever I go up to the canteen after the show at 10 o'clock.
You'll be buying everybody breakfast.
I probably will, but Rebecca will love it today because normally I weigh in with a tenner. She's never any change. Today, it's your lucky day.
You said to her, do you want some change? Maybe she'll change it for you.
That's not a bad idea, Kirsty. Yeah. Go play some classic police in a second. Now, last night, Liverpool played in the Champions League qualifier stages against Standard Liège. Mm-hmm. If you ever in your life. Honestly, it was too much pressure for first thing in the season, Kirsty.
Really?
We don't expect this stuff, you know, to the end of the season when we're almost going for Champions League final. Mm-hmm. Never mind qualifying to get in for it. The sweat was well and truly running down the shock last night and I was not a happy camper, particularly whenever I went to extra time. Mm-hmm. I meant I missed Alan Carr to his ferry.
I started listening to it because it was in the hallway.
Huh?
I was in the hallway on the computer.
Did you laugh?
No.
Did you not?
No, but I wasn't concentrating on it. And I think, do you know the thing with Alan Carr is you got to look at him. Because he's just funny to look at as well.
That's very true. Well, last night, after the football was finished at 10:30, I flicked on to Alan Carr and saw about 20 minutes off before I fell asleep. And I have to say, I was in wrinkles.
Oh, really?
Absolutely.
Was he very good?
Very, very, very funny. Really funny. And then I got over to sleep and I thought to myself, this is going to be good. This is going to be a record. This is going to be 5.5 hours straight sleep.
Because I had an early night last night as well.
It didn't really turn out too early for me, though.
Did it not?
1:15, stomach cramps. In fact, it was 1:00 to 1:45. Ooh. I was bent over in two.
Was it wind?
No. I don't know.
What did you eat last night?
Well, see, this is the thing. I didn't have anything strange, startling or indifferent. Do you know what I had last night?
What?
Bit of a weird concoction. Well, it's not really a weird concoction. It's just a situation whereby there wasn't that much in the house. So I had 2 chicken fillet breasts, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Some beans and 2 slices of bread. What's wrong with that? Do you think that was a problem?
Oh, dear.
Right.
Maybe. The beans.
Yeah, it could have been.
The wind.
6:15. Classic place. Every breath you take. Snodcast. Ladies and gentlemen, there's one show that I consistently watch on a day-to-day basis, and I have made no bones about actually watching this particular show, even though my wife thinks I'm absolutely sad as get out for watching it. But as I said, it's mind-numbing TV, and at the end of the day, if you fall asleep, well, you know, you don't need to go back and watch the rest of the episode, because you can always pick up on whatever the storyline is the following day, or perhaps even up to a week or 2 weeks later. Kirsty, you watched this particular show this morning, and you have not watched it in 10 years.
If not more than that, I'm just sitting here trying to work out exactly how. It could be 13 years.
Right, and you watched it on the replay this morning in the early hours. What time's it on at in the morning?
I don't know. It must have started at 5.
5 on Channel 5.
5 on Channel 5, yeah. It's around that time anyway.
Right, okay. And you watched, what, 15 minutes of it?
Not even. Well, I was drying my hair at the time, so you couldn't hear it. I think it got about 5 minutes.
And you reckon you got back into the storyline fairly quick?
Yeah.
After over 10 years.
There's not very many people in it. And even the titles are different. The music and everything's different. It's not the same.
No.
But Toadie's still in it.
Correct.
And is it Steph?
Correct.
She's still in it. So I know those two.
Wow.
And I noticed Harold and the other guy.
Lou.
That's right. They're still in it. Everybody else haven't got a clue.
Well, no, Harold's not in it at the moment.
He's leaving again.
No, well, what actually happened
was,
of course we're talking about Neighbours. No, he's already left.
Oh, is he gone already?
Gone already.
How come it's only in the papers now then that he's handed in his notice and he's leaving because of abuse by fans?
You see, this is the situation, ladies and gentlemen. here comes the big stories for all you Neighbours fans out there. You will remember that Harold disappeared off to go round Australia in his camper van.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then was washed up on a beach, wasn't he?
No, Kirsty, you're getting it all confused. No wonder you haven't watched it in 10 years. He got washed up on a beach about 10 years ago. No, it was more than that. But he made a comeback to the show. Now he's away off in his camper van around Australia. Okay.
Oh, right. Okay. So the second time he's gone missing.
No, he's gone missing on purpose this time.
Oh, he's not coming back?
No, he is coming back. My goodness, woman! Right. He is coming back, okay?
Yeah.
Right? But he's only coming back for a short time. You see, way back, about sort of 6 months ago, he said he was only going to go part-time in the show, right?
Right.
Now, he's going to come back, but he's decided that when he does come back, it's not going to be a long stay. Instead, he's going to come back and he's going to be fighting prostate cancer. And then he's going to beat prostate cancer and he's going to leave the street forever. So Harold, ladies and gentlemen, will be gone from our TV screens for good at the end of October. Kirsty, are you sad?
I've got it. I've only just found him again.
Snodcast.
We're just discussing a video clip that Kirsty has sent on Facebook. It is a video clip of the Graham Norton show on YouTube.
Yeah.
And he's got in his company that particular evening on the show
Cagney and Lacey.
Now, how ancient do they look now?
Pretty ancient, I have to say.
I would love to hear the theme. Tyne
Daly
and Lacey,
and who was it? Tyne Daly and, oh, I can't remember the other one's name.
No point in asking
Glenn,
me that.
Somebody Glenn. Anyway.
Made me think, you know what, one of my all-time ambitions, okay, and this is being serious, TV producers, listen up, is to actually have a chat show. It's something I've always, always, always wanted to do.
Yeah.
So imagine, you know, sitting on the settee, on the sofa, on the couch, on the Chesterfield suite, with someone who is pretty famous and have a bit of a chinwag. And I was thinking there now, you know, Graham Norton had Cagney and Lacey on. Who would you love to have on to be able to have a chat to? Simon Cowell.
Yeah.
I think kids, you know, I have to say I'm a big admire what Simon Cowell has done. I really do. I would love to be able to sit and have a really good chinwag with him.
Mm-hmm.
Love to have a good chinwag with Bill Clinton.
What about?
Well, I'd ask him, number one, how he got away with it. Was she worth it? And was she any good?
Snodcast.
We're talking about embarrassing circumstances this morning. Following my escapades last week, leaving here, going to a meeting in Belfast, going into shops, and then coming home and realising I was flying low. Kirsty trying to get out of the car park. She already had paid her ticket, but she waited at the machine, pushing the button, whatever button that was, waiting for a ticket to come out for her to leave. Had a guy on the phone, okay?
Yeah.
Who, a matter of years ago, cut his hand when he was out having a few beers, went to the hospital. They said that he needed a few stitches.
Mm-hmm.
She then said, have you had a tetanus before? He says, no. She goes, okay, well, do you know where tetanus goes? And he says, yeah. And she goes, dropped him. He dropped everything.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
Nightmare.
He was standing there, stalkers.
On.
But I can understand the situation whereby you could get confused in that sense. Whenever I injured my back, do you remember in the studio a matter of months back?
Yeah.
Well, after that, and after I'd gone to my body manipulator and he had manipulated me and made me back to normal, I decided that I would go to a spa to get myself a nice massage.
Uh-huh.
So I arrived at the place and, of course, I get sent upstairs and you go into the changing room and they give you a robe. And he says, go and get yourself undressed. There's some slippers and a robe. I was a wee bit... Well, I didn't know whether I was meant to go in totally stalkers under the robe or keep my boxers on.
Right.
You see, they don't tell you. For the people who've never been there before, you don't know.
I know. It's happened to me before, believe me.
There should be rules on the wall. Please keep all underwear on. I tell you something, I'm sure there's some of those massage experts who have got, like, you know, a surprise or two in their time.
The Pete Snodden Breakfast Show.
Snodcast.
Thank you very much for checking out this week's Snodcast. As ever, more updates available at coolfm.co.uk and at iTunes. And remember to check out the show in real time, weekday mornings, 6 to 10, on your number one hit music station, 97.4 Cool FM.